Access number 32394, Mr. Don Farrington, Reel 12. Now, before we go, what about the train part of the journey? You seem to have got on the train on the 5th of February.
Yeah.
And he's still got a couple of days to go. You get to Luckenwald on February the 8th. So, you know, you're messing about on a train for a good few days.
Yeah.
What do you remember the train part of the journey?
The train part was horrible. We had cattle trucks and we were not allowed off them to urinate. So you can imagine what that was like after 2 days. And people was, again, were stressed out as it was. The only thing is we weren't walking or marching, but it wasn't any more helpful, really, from a point of view of psychology. We were all really, I suppose, at the end of our tether when we got on the train. But the last 1 or 2 days on the train was...
seems to be, what, 5th, 6th, 7th, you arrive on the 8th, very early in the morning.
Yeah,
so
that's
three
right.
3 or 4 days.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, from a point of view of keeping your mind occupied enough to not let it get you down, that it was very difficult altogether. And as I say, the relief was when eventually we got off the train. And... we were then, unfortunately, held up before we could get onto the camp, which we then arrived at.
Now, this is Stalag 3A. That's at Luckenwald.
That's the one, yeah. Yeah.
So, and you got there on the 8th.
So now, this...
Well, what was the situation? I mean, it seems to be appalling weather when you got there.
Yeah. The situation at Luckenwald, actually, was, again, they weren't prepared for us. So consequently, there was literally hundreds of our people all stood around outside once we'd got to the railway station, stood outside waiting for us to go into the camp. And then when we eventually did get into the camp, there was no beds for us. There was just open spaces, so we just had the floor to lie down on initially. We were given some blankets from what I can remember, and that was it. And there was just basic food that came round eventually, and it was only very basic food. And of course at that stage there was no Red Cross parcels coming through, so our state really was very bad.
Were you losing weight? I mean, what state, what you know?
I honestly don't know, but I assume I must have done. But I think, as I say, it was a situation which was not a situation which you could even try to improve on because of the... It's not just the walking or the marching or the going from A to B. It's not knowing what's at the end of the thing when you get there. And what was disappointing was that it took so long for the camp that had taken us in for them to get them organised sufficiently for us to get the beds that we needed. And that took time. And all this was being reported to the Red Cross to the extent that they had Red Cross officials coming into the camp.
Do you remember their visit?
And I remember their visit. They were coming around looking at everybody's condition. And that was reported back to the Germans to say that this couldn't and should not go on any further. And there must be an immediate change. This is the people from the Red Cross who were telling the Germans what needed to be done. And finally, I say, we did get some improvements. First of all, we got the beds that we wanted, so we were able to at least... and also, there was a lot of medication needed. in all kinds of circumstances that people were suffering from different things. Consequently, that was very necessary. And the food supply did improve slightly.
Now, what was the food? You seem to be, you're not getting Red Cross pass, but
no.
You seem to be getting very small amounts of food. Yes, what do you remember?
Well, you just got the basics for the breakfast and the basics for lunch, and the same at tea time. It was just primarily coffee, and sometimes you got a few potatoes, very, very little else.
A fifth of a loaf of bread.
That's like bread. That. So it was mainly drink, bread, and potatoes.
I presume the coffee would be Erstat's, would it?
I don't know what it was, but I didn't like it. I think, as I say, it was just something that it was warm. I suppose that was the main good thing about it. It's warm and it helps you from that point of view. But taste-wise, no. And with the food, the bread was... I always used to think it was something like it was a foul taste with it. It has its taste all of its own.
Was it rye bread?
The German bread.
Rye bread? Black or dark
it
brown?
It was very dark brown. And it was, well, we weren't used to that kind of bread. But at least it was bread. So we had to be content with small mercies, I think. Altogether, it took some time to settle down in that camp because people were still suffering. I will say this, I was very, very fortunate that I managed to stay on my feet and I managed not to suffer from anything particularly.
Seems to have been a lot of dysentery still.
But I mean, the dysentery, I was very lucky. You see, I really don't know why, but I was, and the same with my feet.
How bad were the men? When they got to the camp, it seems to get worse in the camp. How bad were the men with dysentery? What state were they in? Because it varies what level, from diarrhoea right through to full-blown dysentery.
Well, I mean, as far as the general feeling within the people that had been on the march was an attitude of they got to a point where it can't get any worse, and hopefully that it would slowly get better, but it was very slowly, and a lot of people got very impatient, but there was nothing they could do. They only just, through the British officer in charge, they had to really keep at the Germans. And see, the trouble with this camp was it was divided into sections. There was Russians, Americans, French, British, and another country, I think. There were about five different sections, so you could tell how big that camp was. And the poor, we thought, we had a shock actually, because we were quite adjacent to the Russian compound. And we could see these people and even talk to them, or at least try to make yourself understood. But the condition they were in was worse than we had, because they'd been in that camp for I don't know how long. And they definitely were not getting fed properly at all. And they were in
worse than you.
Oh, yes, yes. No question of it. In fact, some of our people, if they got anything at all they could spare, and it wasn't much, they would pass it over to these Russians. And they were absolutely delighted. And they were fighting one another to get hold of it. It was so desperate. So, I mean, we thought we were badly treated, but... there's no question about it, and later we found out that most of those people died anyway.
Now, you seem to start getting American Red Cross parcels, and just Red Cross parcels start to come in. Do you remember that?
I can't remember much about that, actually.
That's fair enough.
But It must have improved from what we would got initially when we. I think that once the problem with the Red Cross parcels at all was because we weren't getting anything like we were in the original camp. It was because the invasion had got so far by this time that a lot of the railways had been bombed out of existence. So unfortunately, we couldn't get. They couldn't get. They tried. The Swiss people tried to get these food parcels through to the camps, but they were getting delayed left, right, and centre, trying to route them so they could get to the camps quickly. But unfortunately for them, because of our fellas that had done a great deal of bombing on the rail yards to stop all the movement of troops and so forth, which was fair enough, it was also stopping our supply of food. They did try very hard, but we did occasionally get these parcels coming through, which was a godsend, and did manage to keep us going right until the end the Russians arrived.
Now, one thing is you have a visit from Max Schmeling, the boxer.
Oh, yes.
I mean, do you remember that? I mean,
yes.
That's very interesting. It's just tucked away, March 16th. I don't know whether this bit of the diary is yours or his, because it seems to waver between being somebody else's diary briefly when you lost it. Is it? Is it just on the march and then it's back to yours?
I don't know quite without saying it. But, I remember seeing Max Schmeling because everybody gathered round and said, There's a famous boxer coming in to see you all. That was our officer in charge, and it was Max Schmeling, and he came round shaking hands with people.
Could he speak English? I mean,
yes, he could speak English. Yeah.
Was he nice?
Yes. Yeah, he was.
Was it propaganda? I mean,
I don't know whether it was or not. It could have been, but. Like I say, it's just one of those things you just surprised at. I'm surprised he's going around talking to prisoners of war, but he was his attitude was not like I call it German soldier's attitude.
What do you mean?
Well, it was just friendly talk. Nothing political about it, and nothing, you know, Heil Hitler was never mentioned.
Now, one thing I forgot to ask earlier, was lice a problem, or were you deloused by the Germans? Body lice.
I wasn't then, but I was later on.
Okay, well,
yeah.
So, I mean, moving through March, you know, and then into April, you're still in this camp. You know.
Yeah.
And what's happening? What are you thinking is happening?
We were still getting messages through by the radios as to
secret radios.
Yeah, secret radios, and that was giving us some information about how near the Russians were getting to us, and because by this time the places that we'd come from had all been evacuated, and they were then in charge, the Russians, so they were moving very quickly, and so we could tell from where they say they were on the radio coming from London was saying how far the Russians had advanced. So we knew roughly where they were at that particular time. And it was only just a question of so long as we got some of these parcels coming through, which we did, it was sufficient to make sure. I can't tell you just how many, how often, but all I do know, it was... It wasn't very often, but when you did get one at all, I think I think we could still go back to combines then. We just had to combine the whole issue that we were getting between the set number of people, again, made sure that each person got an equivalent amount of Red Cross food.
Now, it's, as you get through middle, all the way through April, the Star has got references to, you know, rumours that, gosh,
oh, yes,
5 days'
yeah,
time or whatever,
right,
you know.
Yeah.
And then eventually, on the, it seems to be on 21st of April, the Russians actually arrive, or they're 3 kilometres away, and the Germans begin to abandon the camp. Now, what do you remember about that whole process?
Well, the thing is, we thought this is it. That when the Germans first arrived, the Russians first arrived, it was obviously that German soldiers had vanished overnight. The guards had vanished overnight when we woke up that
all
morning.
Of them.
Yes, all of them. As far as I know, the German officers, if they were still there, would have been captured and otherwise they would have gone with the troops.
Now that seems to be 21st of April, the guards disappear.
Yeah.
So what happens then? How do you sort out the camp?
Then there becomes an official who becomes in charge of the whole camp, which meant that the Americans, the French and the British were all governed by this one chappie who became the official officer
that
in
looks
charge.
Like a Norwegian general.
that's right. Well, that's what I can't remember. It was somebody who would be in charge of the whole issue, and he of course would have his some counterparts of who he knew would help him in that job with it. So he was the official person who dealt with the Russians, and then when they discuss certain things, he would then discuss or he would then broadcast to us all what the latest situation was and about the evacuation.
Now we get to the point where the Russian enters the camp, which is the bit you jump to
in
January.
That's right.
By mistake. This is on April the 22nd, and the first Russian enters at 6:15 in the morning. Now tell us what you remember about that moment.
Well, this was the first time we really thought that we were going to be released, and that the Russians would be letting us go then. But they talked to our official in charge, wasn't the case. Their senior officers from the Russians came over, met up with our senior officer, and it was decided at the moment they were keeping us under their command, the Russians that is, and that they will be sending trucks around to take them back to I'm not sure where this would be now. They were going to take us back, I think, to the Baltic, somewhere in the Baltic.
And what do you actually remember of the Russian troops coming in? They seem to have torn down the fences, and there's all sort of, you know, I don't know whether they've got any food.
Well, they more or less formed a guard around the camp. Now, we were prisoners by the Russians, virtually, which seemed absurd. But the only way they were going to do it was going to do it officially. And that any movement of any POWs would be done via their discretion, and they are the ones which would dictate to us when they would be released and where they were going to be sent.
Now, did the rations improve? The food you get improved now the Russians are in?
Well, only slightly. Not greatly, but slightly it did. But I wouldn't say that it was... I think the Russians actually themselves weren't all that, when they were advancing so much, had got so much food available. Anyway, the main thing was that the attitude of the Russians was that they were in charge. They would tell the British and the Americans and the French when they could go and when they couldn't go. And of course the American consultant was also getting a bit aerated about that we couldn't do this and we couldn't do the other, and he was trying to get through to the American establishment to say, well, we can't carry on like this, this is ridiculous. And it came about that apparently the Russians wanted, for how shall I put it, to show how good they were, to make sure that all our POWs were looked after, and we would look after them, we'd take them to the Baltic and we'd look after them there and then go back to England. Now we're going in the wrong direction, so you can see as far as the Americans and the and the British are concerned, they don't want any part of this. So then there was an almighty showdown between the top Russians and the top Americans and British people who were in charge. And that caused a lot of confusion, because there was nearly a riot at one time, because when there was broadcast to us exactly what the Russians had said and what they were intending doing, there was nearly a riot. They were threatening all kinds of things to people, which is ridiculous, really, because we're in no position, really, to demand anything, because they got the arms and ammunition and they got the power in which to stop it if necessary. And, and what the Americans did, the Americans had sent, because of all this, they'd sent, oh, must have been a dozen or so trucks to help evacuate the camp. But that would be for Americans only. So you can imagine that altogether, politically, things weren't going quite correctly. And to finalise my part of the story is that the Americans thought that when they brought the trucks up to the camp, that the Russian sentries, which were all round the camp, they would then let us get on to, or let the Americans get onto the transport and so go back again. However, when the message got through to the drivers of the American trucks, they couldn't believe it. So what somebody started, I don't know who it was, somebody said, well, if you get in the truck, they'll drive off. So get in the truck and hide. And in no time at all, it flashed around the camps, we can imagine. But the Russians were up to this, inasmuch as they got the guards around where the trucks were. And unfortunately, several people got shot. I won't say killed, but they were shot by the sentries. They opened fire immediately. If they saw somebody moving, they'd be shooting. So they knew that right where these trucks were, there was no way at that time of being able to get through, which again was very distressing. I was friendly with two Canadians, in actual fact. I'd been for quite a while in the in our camp, and we talked about trying to see if we could get towards the trucks without being, because we'd seen some people in the early hours of the morning going and actually getting through onto the trucks, and we thought, well, there's been no shooting, so we hoped that perhaps the sentries had gone on got off to sleep or something. But when once we saw that, we thought, well, we'll give it a try. That was the three of us, and we gradually got up to where the trucks were, and we saw the driver, and he just waved to us, and so we followed him, and we got on their truck, And in no time at all, there was a few others, and then he set off. He said, "We'll have to go now." So that was unofficial, and taking a hell of a risk when I think about it. But we got back. Now, I believe that officially they were still in that camp for quite a few weeks after we'd left. I always remember when they took us across, we had another escapade, crossing over the River Elbe. This is where the Americans were taking us back to the camp where they had got established, ready to accept ex-prisoners of war. And they took us to this place, they dropped us off, and then I assume went back again to the camp. Now, at this stage, it was all very bewildering because the three of us were together. We'd been together for quite some time before all the marching and all that. We'd all stuck together. And we were wondering, anyway, the first thing the Americans did was pass us through to the section dealing with this.
So you got the you got the lift from the lorry on the May the 8th, VE Day.
It got us from there to the camp where the Americans were. And at that night, I always remember this, after we had a... Oh, the other thing, before we get to that stage, we got there and they'd laid on a meal for us. And part of the meal was bread. And it was white bread. I couldn't eat it. Why? I got used to the German ersatz type bread. And I got so used to it that the white bread felt terrible. It didn't do a thing for me. I sort of remember we had a good meal, to say that. Anyway,
this is POW receiving centre.
That's right, yeah.
And where was it?
That I don't
know. By the Elbe.
It was somewhere, yes, near the River Elbe, yeah.
And you got there on, May the 8th, yeah. So what happened
there? We had to, what they did, in actual fact, we, I've got to get this right because there's just an awful lot of detail with it. The thing is, we had to cross the Elbe. We couldn't cross the Elbe by the transport. They took us up to the Elbe. Now, the Elbe, the bridge over the River Elbe, had been blown up and was in structurally. Part of it was still there, but you could still walk across it very, very with great difficulty because you had to clamber up all the structure of it and then come down, then go back up again because of how the structure was after the bombing. But we managed to do it and managed to walk across the Elbe, and then we were met at the other side.
And then you were taken to the POW receiving centre, which was at Schonbeck.
Schonbeck, yes.
I've got that from the diary, so that explains that.
Yeah.
So how were you treated in this POW receiving centre? Oh, it's an American POW. It's run by the Americans, isn't it?
It was run by the Americans, yes. I remember it very well, actually, and they were... hopefully they were delighted to see us, and so were we. But it's still the 8th of May, a very significant date, simply because he said they've got an announcement coming through for you during the evening, and they were having a big bonfire just outside. And they said, "We want you all to come out and listen to the broadcast of Sir Winston Churchill." And it was him delivering his speech that the war is over. And we can imagine what that did.
Were you able to celebrate it?
Well, we couldn't do anything else, but what could we do? We were just in there and we were released. It was just a question now what the next stage was, getting back.
But you were delighted.
But obviously we were thrilled to bits, especially when we heard Churchill. But... it's...